Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, well, good morning. Yeah, some energy in here. I like it. Yeah, if you're a guest, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you. And thanks for joining us in the room. Thanks for joining us online. We're in the middle of a series called Road Trip. Been talking about road trips, been thinking about road trips. And just as I was sitting down there, I was thinking about four of the most dreaded words the driver can hear on a road trip. Can we stop there? I don't know what it is about, especially the driver on a road trip or adults. Like, we just want to get to the destination as quickly as possible, you know? And, you know, when you're a kid on a road trip, I remember this as a kid, and my kids now, like, the destination is great, but everything else along the way looks fascinating as well, right? Every time there's a billboard, hey, Dad, can we stop there? Nope. You know, you see a little roadside petting zoo, or like you see, it says McDonald's has a playground. Can we stop there? Nope. And you don't even make eye contact with mom, because mom's thinking, I mean, come on, let him stop. You're just like, nope, can't do it. But when you are a kid, think back for a minute. When you were a kid on a road trip, seriously, didn't everything look amazing? Like, it didn't matter where you were going. You'd read that billboard, and you'd hear about, oh, there's a corn maze? I've got to go see this. When I was a kid, my family and I, I grew up in Florence, South Carolina. And so we drove a lot on I-20, a lot on I-95. And so when I was a kid, I thought the greatest place in the history of the world was called South of the Border. Yes! Yes! My people. I used to beg my parents, please take me to South of the Border. Can we please stop at South of the Border? And every time, nope. We would drive past South of the Border, just look at it. I'd say, it looks so amazing. And I just imagine all these kids with better families than mine, whose parents let them stop, and the joy they were having at South of the Border. And then, as a senior in high school, my buddies and I, we went to South of the Border. I was like, gentlemen, follow me to a land. Let's just say, if you've ever been to South of the Border, it does not live up to the hype. I'm like, how about spend less on billboards and spend more on your product? Woo! I mean, we were there 5 minutes, and I was like, this is rough. I think I might owe my mom and dad an apology. Because, I mean, hours, guys, hours, days on great trips to great destinations, pouting because we didn't stop at South of the Border. See, I tell you that story because I think a lot of us live our lives that way. A lot of us on this road trip, on this journey we're all on, can allow things to distract us. Things that look better. Things that look enticing. Things that make us think, you know what? What I have isn't good enough. Where I'm headed isn't good enough. In fact, I'm disappointed with where I'm headed because that looks better. See, that's what I was doing. I was living disappointed with the destination I was headed to. I was living disappointed with the trip I was on, again, because I wasn't going to South of the Border. And see, I'm convinced that for many, if not most of us here today who live with a sense of disappointment, who live with a sense of dissatisfaction with our journey, See, my hope today is that the God of the universe can reveal to all of us, you might be chasing south of the border. And so what I want to do today is I want to turn to God and hopefully let him open our eyes as we continue this series about how we all journey through life, how we all not only learn where we're going, but how we get there and how we thrive along the way. If today's your first week, like I said, we've been in the series called Road Trip. And if you don't have it already, I'm going to encourage you to grab our app. It's a great way to just stay connected with our church, but also you can go back and you can watch weeks 1 and 2 of the series. This is week 3. So we've covered a lot of content in weeks 1 and 2. We're picking up here today with this idea of how do we deal with the disappointment in our lives? How do we deal with the dissatisfaction in our lives? But you're not going to be able to really apply 3 until you understand weeks 1 and 2, because here's what we discovered week 1 of our series. It's a good thing about Jesus. Jesus is both the direction and the destination for our lives. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the clarity that brings of, hey, when there's a moral decision, I'm going to step towards Jesus. When there's a decision where it's more just about my opinion and more about, you know, what school do I want to go to, who do I want to date, you know, we just walk with Jesus. We allow him to speak to us as we walk. And we know we can trust when we do that, he's going to be with us. And he's going to guide us. Last week, we learned how to navigate the craziness of life, how to navigate different seasons. And the key isn't to try to find balance. The key isn't try to be fair. The key is what we talked about last week. The synchronization is a gift. If we allow the God of the universe to speak not just to us, but to every person in our life, if we build our lives around him, he will call the shots. And he will be able to guide us in each season. The reason we're talking about disappointment today is because there is nothing that will more quickly take us off track, and there's nothing that will get us out of sync faster than the distraction of disappointment. And I call it a distraction because for the vast majority of us, we live life disappointed over the wrong things. We live life disappointed because we're believing lies. We live life disappointed because we don't know the path to satisfaction. We don't know the path to contentment. So that's where I want to pick up today, because I want to begin with a statement that's going to blow your mind. And then we're going to spend the next few minutes unpacking how we apply it in our lives, because we can walk with Jesus, we can turn to Jesus, we can listen to Jesus, but if we don't get this next thing right, we don't learn to deal with the distraction of disappointment, we will constantly find ourselves pulled off course. We will constantly find ourselves taking roadblocks. We will constantly find ourselves, even if we're on the journey, we're probably making everyone else in the room miserable along the way. You know who got sick of me talking about south of the border besides my parents? My sister. Trey, shut up about south of the border. But see, there's something we can all learn today when it comes to the disappointments in our lives, when it comes to the distraction of disappointment, and it's this. It's a simple phrase. It's going to take us a lifetime to master. Satisfaction's a choice. Do you know that? See, I know some of you want to push back. You're like, no. Satisfaction is a feeling. But no, satisfaction is a choice. Think about it. Think about the number one reason I feel dissatisfied and you feel dissatisfied and we all feel dissatisfied. It's because we choose to add something to our lives. And this thing that we add makes us disappointed. What am I talking about? We add comparison. Nothing drives disappointment faster than comparison. And we all do it. We all do it. I do it. You do it. We all do it. We compare our lives to other people's lives. We compare their destinations to our destinations. We compare their journey to our journey. And we say, well, their journey's better than mine, and I want that. And so I'm not satisfied with what I have. I'm not satisfied with where I'm going. I'm not satisfied with my kids. I'm not satisfied with my spouse. I'm not satisfied with my career because of what I see in their lives. But here's the thing about comparison. You know this. I know this. We all know this. Comparison can't be trusted because comparison isn't complete. We don't have all the data to make an accurate comparison. Maybe you've heard somebody use this example before. Comparison, when we compare our lives to other people's lives, it's like comparing our behind the scenes to someone else's highlight reel. Have you heard that before? Because that's what happened. Well, I'm a child of the 90s, so I have a 90s reference for you. And some of you parents are going to have to explain this to your kids later. That's fine. It'll be great. You can have a long conversation. Because MTV, yes, it used to show music videos on MTV. And on music television, it used to show music on the television. And MTV started doing these concerts with artists, and they called it MTV Unplugged. Yeah, see? MTV Unplugged, man. And they would come out in acoustics, and it was shot really well, and it was edited really well. And, like, if it was a group, they'd sometimes tell stories, and you were just like, man, this is the greatest band in the world, and they love each other. This is amazing. And then another music channel, VH1, they started a series called Behind the Music. Remember Behind the Music? Behind the Music is when they would interview everybody, and the voiceover would be like, things were going well for the Rolling Stones until, and then it would go to commercial. And Behind the Music was literally, they interviewed all these band members, they interviewed all these artists about all the turmoil going on in their own lives, all the turmoil going on in a band, and you'd walk away and be like, I don't know how they ever made music. That was crazy. See, we live behind the music. We know the behind the music of our lives. We know the MTV Unplugged for everybody else's. We have no idea what's actually going on in their life. So comparison, by default, doesn't make any sense because we have absolutely no idea what's actually going on in their lives. But here's what I would tell you. Even if you did, even if you had a perfect picture of what's going on in somebody else's life, your Heavenly Father loves you too much to guide you through them. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you were here last week, we talked about learning to follow God is like following the beat. See, when you live your life comparing it to somebody else, you're trying to lead your family by the beat of someone else's band. And God loves you too much for that. And when we understand how much of our disappointment is driven by comparison, we can choose to stop comparing. We can choose to analyze that comparison. We can choose to say, hey, is this true? Is this not? Does this have value? Does this matter? So it's with that in mind, when we think about comparisons, I want to explain to you what satisfaction actually is. Satisfaction is very simple. Satisfaction is simply the space where reality and expectations meet. That's all it is. It's the space where our current reality meets our current expectations. And anytime it doesn't, anytime our expectations are here and our reality is here, a gap is created. And that gap is dissatisfaction. And here's the amazing thing. You and me, all of us, are totally in control with what we do with that gap. It's completely up to us. And what I'm going to argue today is what we should do with that gap is take it to our Heavenly Father. We should take it to Jesus, the one who is guiding us, the one who hopefully we're allowing to speak to us. When we feel that gap in our lives, that gap between our expectations and our reality, we can take it to him and say, hey, Jesus, what would you like me to do with this gap? What's the truth in this gap? What's the lie in this gap? So what I want to do today is I want to tell you two things. One, in order to help you learn to stop making a comparison, I'm going to make a comparison. What I want to do is I want to start with a story. A story that I hope, especially for all the parents in the room, will maybe help us reset the expectations for our day-to-day parenting wins and fails. For those of us who lead organizations, who lead people, maybe help us reset our expectations for how we handle every single dispute, every single mess up. Because if you're like me, a lot of we hold ourselves to incredibly high standards. Higher standards than we hold anybody else to. And so it's easy to look in the mirror and say, well, my reality did not meet my expectations for myself today. And to that, Jesus responds, wait till you hear about my parents. So I want to tell you a story. Hopefully it'll make you laugh. Hopefully it'll ease the tension. And then we're going to turn to this man named Paul. And he says, give us a step. A step we can choose to take anytime we feel the gap between our expectations and our reality. And it's a step that we can choose to take to bring us back to satisfaction every single time. So first, like I said, I want to tell you a story. We learned this story from a man named Luke. If you're familiar with the four biographies we have of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke is the third biography. Luke was a doctor by trade. He was a historian as well. Luke never actually met Jesus. He became a Christian after Jesus ascended into heaven, but Luke decided to write a biography of Jesus' life by interviewing his disciples and interviewing eyewitnesses, and he put together an eyewitness account through interviews. And we know one of the people that Luke interviewed was Jesus' mother, Mary. And so my assumption is the story we're about to see today, Mary herself shared with Luke. And I believe that God's Holy Spirit led Luke to write it down so 2,000 years later, every parent in the room could read it and go, oh, okay, good. Because here's the deal. The God of the universe, the God who loved his son, the God who knew the future, chose Mary and Joseph to be the earthly parents of his son. Which means he chose them knowing this story was going to happen. He knew it would happen, and he knew it would be okay. So maybe all of us as parents of him can take a little, okay, God's bigger than I am. He's in control. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. So let me go ahead and turn to the story, because I think it's going to blow your mind. Here's what Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2. He says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Passover was the biggest holiday in the Jewish calendar. It was a celebration of their escape from Egypt, from captivity in Egypt. Eventually, Jesus himself will die at Passover to fulfill all the promises of the Old Testament and to begin the new thing that God was doing through him. So after the celebration, when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. So he's 12 years old. He's 12 years old. He's 12 years old. Let me say that one more time. He's 12 years old. 12 years old. Let's keep reading. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. These loving parents, chosen by God to raise his son, left Jerusalem without noticing that their 12-year-old, wasn't with them. Here's what Luke tells us. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. Oh, you know, just the Son of God. It doesn't matter. We assume he's with us. Watch this. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. A day has gone by, and they have not realized they don't have their son. Again, and it's the Son of God. Not paying attention, don't even realize it. Don't have their son. And so then they just start casually asking, hey, Bill, have you seen Jesus? Yesterday? Yeah, us too. Last time we saw him was yesterday. Sarah, have you seen Jesus? No. Carl, have you seen Jesus? Huh. Well, it's getting late. Maybe we should check on him. Watch this. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. So finally, they're like, you know what? Okay, well, he's not with us. He must be back in the biggest city he's ever been in his life where he doesn't know anybody. Let's just go back. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then, don't miss what Luke, Luke wrote this down. Don't miss this. Watch this. 3 days later. Have you ever lost your kid for 3 days? Are your expectations being lowered a little bit? Huh? Are you thinking, you know what? Not as bad as I thought. Pretty good parent. Lost my kid at Broadway for 5 minutes one time. I about had a heart attack. 3 days. 3 days later, watch this. They finally discover him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. You know who was not amazed by his understanding and answers? His parents. Here's what Mary says. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere." Raise your hand. Doesn't it feel good? The parents that God picked to raise his kid felt frantic. It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I too feel that franticness often. And Jesus was just 12. But this is the most teenage answer I've ever heard. Because here's what he responds. "Why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" And if I'm Mary, she's like, "And you're about to see him again, too." "I don't care who you are. You don't leave me for 3 days." But no, Luke tells us, but they didn't understand what he meant. I tell you this entire story for the last two verses. Watch this. "Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart." They had a hiccup. They had a moment. But then they went back and he obeyed. He didn't run off again. He didn't play the, "Well, you know, Mom, I'm really God" card. No. He obeyed. And watch this. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. And his parents lost him for 3 days. So, for all the parents in the room, let me just say, it's going to be okay. If you are turning to your Heavenly Father and you're inviting him to lead you, if you're stepping towards him in obedience and stepping with him in faith, if you're doing what you can to let not just yourself but your family be led by him and to live in sync with him, you can relax a little bit. There's going to be moments of frantic. There are. There's going to be moments of panic. But your Heavenly Father loves your kids more than you do. Your Heavenly Father loves your friends more than you do. Your Heavenly Father loves your employees more than you do. So maybe part of the reason we live dissatisfied with ourselves is because we've created a standard God himself didn't even expect for his son. So relax. You're doing better than you think you are. You're here. And it was raining today. It was cold. You woke up and you had the thought, "It's going to be online. I don't have to go." And I'm glad you're here too. See, if we compare ourselves with others and we constantly compare. Yeah, but they did this and they did that and she did this and he did that. And but I'll never be able to give that to my kids and I'll never be able to do that for my kids and we'll never be able to take them on those trips. And man, my kids will never be that talented. My kids will never be that smart. My kids will never get into GT. Well, my kids are in GT, but they'll never make straight A's in GT. And my kids are never going to get all those AP classes. And what if this and what if that and what if that? And you just exhaust yourself. And we choose to do it. It's our choice. And so now that you've heard the story, might I suggest a step, a choice that I can make and you can make and we can all make when we feel the gap growing when we're comparing with other people, and when we're looking and saying, I'm not satisfied with what I have because I don't have what they have. Into that moment, God speaks. First, with that story. And second, through a servant, a man named Paul. We talk about Paul all the time at our church. Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And specifically in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he touches on this subject because it's a universal subject. This isn't new. 2,000 years ago, they were worrying about if they were keeping up with everyone else. They were panicked about it. 2,000 years ago, they were experiencing the gap of disappointment and dissatisfaction. And so here's the step Paul suggests. He says, hey, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. I love that he uses the word worry because that's what we do. I just said it. That's what I do. It's what you do. It's what we all do. We look at the gap and then we worry about the gap. We worry about what we see as the space between our expectations and our reality. And that worry only hurts us. And so what Paul is saying is, hey, I understand that you're going to see the gap. Of course you are, especially now with social media, with all the things that go on. I mean, the gap can be created at any moment, any time. You can be all fine, scrolling through social media, you see a family on a trip, and immediately, gap. I'll never be able to take my family on that kind of vacation. Oh, man. My kids, poor thing, they're looking at, I'll never be able to measure up. And then, boom, you are having a great day. Gap. You're scrolling along and you see somebody's business just opened a third location and you're struggling to make one work. Gap. What am I doing wrong? Why are they better than me? Why are they smarter than me? And what Paul is saying is, hey, don't engage in all that. Stop what you're doing because there are things you don't know. But you know who does know? Your Heavenly Father. So don't worry. Take the gap to God. Take it to him and say, hey, what do you want me to do with this gap? What's the plan here? And what Paul is saying is, when you do that, he'll give an answer. He'll say, well, actually, yeah, here's what I want you to do with that gap. You can throw that away. That's not true. Let me fill you with truth. Or, actually, you know what? There's a step I want you to take, and if you take it, the gap will be closed. Okay, great. So we take it to God, and then here's what he promises. Then, once we take it to God, you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means. The more we choose to take the gap to God, the more God prepares us to deal with the gap. It's a process. And it's a process Paul's not even done explaining. Because Paul kind of gives us, okay, pray about it, tell God what you need, thank him for what he's done. And it's like Paul was writing, he goes, that's not enough. They need a little more. And he keeps going. Here's what he says. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I love this word. Fix your thoughts. Do you know how much better all our lives would be if we just fixed our thoughts? Fixed as in corrected them, because that's acknowledging our thoughts are wrong. Our thoughts are not always true. They're not always accurate. But the way Paul actually means this, he doesn't mean fix as in correct. He means fix as in attach. Because what he says is, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, what he's saying is, when you experience the gap, you take the gap to God and you ask God to show you how to think about the gap. And you trust what God says. I've heard this compared before. If you've ever flown in the last, 10 years now, 11 years, since the TSA was born, you know, and you fly and now you have to basically strip down and get a search and all that kind of stuff to get on a plane. See, what Paul is teaching us how to do here is how to go TSA on our thoughts. He's saying, hey, you know how when you get on a plane, they have to take your shoes off and you have to do all that other stuff and they send you to the scanner and they identify anything dangerous? And if there's anything dangerous, you have to leave it behind. You can't enter the airport if you don't leave the danger behind, and danger includes a bottle of water. No water. See, what Paul is teaching us how to do is how to go TSA on the gap, on the space between our expectations and our reality. He's saying you got to examine those thoughts. You got to take them to God, and you say, hey, God, is this from you? Because it doesn't sound like you. It doesn't feel like you. And God's going to say, that's probably not from me. If there is a gap in your life, if there is a space between your reality and your expectations that is causing disappointment, that is causing dissatisfaction, and it is from God, let me tell you how you can identify it. If God is sowing disappointment in your life, if he is sowing discontent, it is to get your attention to take a step back into satisfaction. Period. There will 100 out of 100 times be a clear step where you could say, oh, Father, this is what you want me to do. Okay, you want me to step back towards you? Thank you. And then you will experience satisfaction. And we both know most of the time there's not a step. Because it's not from God. It's because we've chosen to compare. It's because we've chosen to be frustrated because our life doesn't look like their life. Because we don't have what they have. And when we take that gap to God, God's going to say, right, because my plan for your life isn't my plan for their life. And you don't know how they got those things. You don't know the story behind the story. You know none of that. Just trust me. Because I'm a good God. And I have a good plan. And you are trying to move forward by bringing things that are dangerous. Not just to you, but to your family. So trust me. Lay that stuff down. And come on through. And let's head together where I want to take you. But just like we know with TSA, we have to make the choice. You could choose to disobey TSA. You could turn around and go home. You could say, nope, I'm not doing it. This is my favorite water bottle. I'm not throwing it away. But you can't hold on to that stuff and get to where you want to go. You get that, right? So it's a choice. We will never meet, we'll never reach, ever, our God-designed destination when we are living with comparison-driven disappointments. We won't. So our God invites us, hey, bring that to me. And hey, think about me. Every time you feel disappointed, why don't you, instead of running down that road, why don't you spend 5 minutes and thank me for what I've given you? Why don't you open your Bible and read a passage? You know why that's so important? Do you know the more you fill your mind with God thoughts, the easier it is to recognize the dangerous thoughts? They stick out. You're like, I see ya. And then you get to make the choice. I'm not going to let that have power over me. I'm not. Now, please hear me, guys. I am telling you something right now that in my personal life, I have been following Jesus now for almost 30 years, okay? This is still a struggle. I'm not teaching you as one who says, I've got this right. I'm telling you, this takes a lifetime to master, and it takes other people in your life who are trying to follow Jesus as well, because sometimes other people can identify the bad thoughts in your life quicker than you can. It could be because they had them before. It could just be that God's giving them the discernment in your life, but that's why groups are so important. That's why we encourage community, because it's as we walk this life together, we allow other people to speak into our lives, that is when we begin to walk into this choice of satisfaction. Even Paul acknowledges it's not overnight, because here's what Paul says at the end. He says, hey, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard me say and saw me doing. Keep putting it into practice. Keep choosing. Keep taking the gap to God. Keep filling your thoughts with him. Keep doing those things, and then the God of peace will be with you. See, I want the God of peace to show up right now. And he's like, not how it works. Not how it works. You got to step. You got to choose. You got to trust. Why? Satisfaction's a choice. Just like it's a choice to worship our Heavenly Father. It's a choice to trust Him. It's a choice to follow Him. And it's a choice to believe wherever He takes me is the right place because I got a good God. That is what your Heavenly Father wants for your life. Probably one of the biggest road trips my wife and I have ever gone on. I've talked about this before at length. Is several years ago, we took all three sons to Disney World. Whew. We'll get into that later. They were much younger than they are now. They were like 8, 5, and 3, I think. Jacob, my youngest, was 3 years old. And it's a long road trip. It's like 8 or 10 hours or something. And my wife's amazing, and so she had, like, broken up the road trip, and we had an activity an hour, you know, and I'm just driving, feeling like I'm the worst parent in the world. All I'm doing is driving. She has orchestrated this whole thing, but it was great, and they were excited, and about halfway, you know, you have to stop. You have to stretch your legs, use the restroom, whatever, and we pulled off at this exit, and we could not find anywhere to stop. I picked the wrong exit. It was a bad exit. I was a poor exit picker, and we ended up finding this very, very, very old, rundown, dilapidated gas station. I'm not even sure that the gas dispensers worked. But the store was open. And, I mean, it looked like it hadn't been, I'm not sure it had been painted in 50 years. I mean, it was just rough. We get out of our car. Dave and John, they both run in. Jacob, never forget this, as long as I live. He gets out of our van. He says, oh, is this Disney World? I love it. We were like, no, dog, this is not Disney World. But see, he had nothing to compare it to. He didn't have a picture. He just knew his parents, who loved him, said, hey, we're taking you somewhere special. And we got out of the car. And he was like, I love it. Whew. You know, I wonder how many blessings I've missed and you've missed and we've all missed. Because we've been chasing after someone else's. What would happen if we just decided, you know, I trust my God. I trust He's good. And He says He's taking me somewhere. Well, I am somewhere and I love it. Because then your Heavenly Father can say, oh, no, 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 no. I have so much more for you than this. But I appreciate the gratitude. I appreciate the heart. But don't worry. Going someplace better. See, it's a choice. Do I trust my God or not? Do I believe my God is good or not? Do I believe my God wants the best for me or not? You know how you find the answer to those questions? You live a life that walks toward Him and with Him in all things. You build your life around Him and you allow Him to call the shots. You live in sync. And as you do, you'll begin to learn, man, His way is good. You know what? He leads me beside still waters. And as David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. God, You're good. So wherever I am today, I'm going to trust You. That's how we discover that satisfaction is a choice. So it's up to you. You continue comparing continue living to satisfy, continuing to allow the gap to grow. Or you can take it to Jesus. Allow him to close the gap and to begin to experience the peace and satisfaction that only comes from him. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful for your son. We're just so thankful that you want to be in our lives and that you want to guide us. Father, I pray today that you will make us aware of the distraction of disappointment in our lives. Father, may we learn what to do with that gap. May we take it to you so that you can show us either to step back to you or show us what we need to let go of. What needs to stay behind so we can move forward. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we trust that if we ask, your Holy Spirit will make it clear. So speak to us today. Thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray.